Good afternoon and welcome back to our recorded messages. Hopefully now you'll understand that they're coming from the Uxbridge Road Tabernacle, which is a Baptist church in a place called Shepherd's Bush in London, England, and in the United Kingdom. I do hope that everybody's back this week. There were 120 people missing last week. Where were you? 120. You missed some really good stuff. You need to go back and have a look at last week's. We did miss you, and we are very, very glad if you are now back with us this week. So a happy new year to you all. 2021. I'm sure we are glad to see the back of 2020 in many ways. If you're listening to this, I think really we should give thanks to God that he has spared us from COVID across the world. Thousands and thousands of people are dying each and every day. And if we're able to listen to this, it means we're still alive and we should be thanking God for that. So what are we going to do this week? Last week, we thought about New Year's resolutions, or New Year's promises to ourselves as to what we hope we can do better in the coming year. How are you doing? Has anyone lost any weight? Has anyone tidied up their bedroom every single day? Has everybody done their homework and submitted it on time? These are maybe some of the resolutions that younger people may have chosen. Now, when we thought about those New Year's resolutions, we just touched briefly on the Ten Commandments. And I thought it would be good if we cover one of these Ten Commandments each week, just at the start of our time together. Now, hopefully, God willing, here in England, if we get to number 10, then hopefully things will look a whole lot better in this country. Hopefully that will be getting on towards early March, and hopefully by then a lot of people who need them would have had the inoculation. And hopefully things will be getting a lot better. So firstly, what are they all about, the Ten Commandments? Why did they come into being in the first place? Now, they came into being to help the children of Israel. For about 400 years, the children of Israel had been slaves in the land of Egypt. And hopefully in the coming weeks, we'll go into that story and you can understand it in more detail. But the children of Israel have been slaves in Egypt. And they had had a bad time, a really tough, bad, hard time. But now, through God's grace and God's mercy to them, they were free. And there was a lot of people, well over a million people, traveling through the desert. But what should they do? How should they live their lives? What sort of things should they do, and what sort of things shouldn't they do? Up until that point in time, being set free, they'd been told what they could do and told what they couldn't do by their masters in Egypt. So let's now look at the first one. A few clunks and a few clicks as we press some buttons. But hopefully then you should see the first of the Ten Commandments come up. And there it is. The first commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. Now, the first thing we've got to say is first things first. First things first. The first four of the Ten Commandments are all about God. And that tells us something straight away, doesn't it? God is very, very important, and God should be first. Now, God had done much for the children of Israel, and now he wanted them to love him and to worship him and to put him first. The commandments are not just about not doing what is wrong. They are about doing the things which are right. And in some ways, that's even more difficult. Now, we need to understand what gods can be. It says there, doesn't it? You should have no other gods before me. And purposefully, that G there in gods has been put as a lowercase, in the lowercase. Now, gods, in that sense of the word, can be anything which in our lives get put before God, the true and the living God. I'm sure that we are all, including me, guilty of doing that so many times. But it's a very good start for us, isn't it, if we understand that God wants us to put him first and nothing in his place. His place should be number one in all our lives. Now, there's a question for us there, isn't it? Do we love God? Do we love God? Is he first in our lives? How can we love God? The only way that the Bible tells us that we can love God is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and being so, so sorry for the sins which we have committed. Then, and only then, will we have peace with God. And then we will try so very, very hard to always put him first in our lives. Now, remember that keeping the Ten Commandments, or at least trying to keep the Ten Commandments, won't make us Christians. The only way in which we can be Christians is by having our trust and our faith and the forgiveness of our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to move on now, and we're going to think about a memory verse.
Our verse for today is from Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Let's see how you remember. Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Our verse is from Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In this new year, there may be times when we are afraid of danger or of problems or of other people. What must we do? In this verse, David says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. So when we face any danger, instead of worrying, we must turn to God in prayer and trust him for his help. Without God's help, we could not face this new year unafraid. But with his help, we can be calm and confident. He will not fail us. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. We're going to stay in the Psalms, and one of our church members has prepared something for us. You've heard him speak before. You heard him speak on prayer, and you heard him speak about the Bible. And now, if everything works fine, he's going to speak to us about Psalm 23.
Hello there, and a warm welcome to you all. I trust that you and your family are well, and I thank you for tuning in to this latest broadcast. Now, in previous weeks, we've learnt about the Bible, its history and its component parts. We've learned the Bible is a collection of books divided into Old and New Testaments and what subjects those books covered. Today, we're going to concentrate on a particular subject of the Old Testament, and that is the poetry section, in particular, the Psalms. Psalm is taken from the Greek word psalmoi, which means a poem sung to the accompaniment of musical instruments. The original music to the Psalms have been lost in time, but many Psalms have been put to music as the hymns that we know and love today. Now, the book of Psalms that we find in the Old Testament is a prayer and praise book written by God-inspired men. Many of the Psalms were written by David. Now, David was a king of Israel. Though not destined to be king as we know it, he wasn't a prince or the son of a king, but he was appointed by God. He was the youngest son of his father Jesse. And we can read about his life in full in the books of Samuel in the Old Testament. But just to give you a taster, he started off as a humble shepherd boy. And he went through many hardships before he was to be appointed king by God. I'm sure you know of the account of his battle with Goliath. He trusted that God would lead and protect him. And David was not only a writer of poems, but a gifted musician. He often played music at the court of King Saul to soothe him. The Psalms David wrote were a record of his feelings and emotions. And as I've mentioned before, David wrote many of the Psalms, most in fact, but not all. There were 150 Psalms, and they differ in their length. Some have only a few verses, and some are longer. The longest Psalm is Psalm 119, which has 176 verses, although it's divided into sections. However, today we're going to concentrate on one particular Psalm, Psalm 23, or the 23rd Psalm, as it's generally called. It's probably the most universally known of all the Psalms. When I was in my primary school, we had to learn it by heart. It was only 6 verses, so it wasn't that hard. But unfortunately, the verses weren't explained to us, and we were just left to understand them ourselves. So let's turn to Psalm 23 then and read it through, and then we'll break it down verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in a nutshell, it describes God's hand in the life of a true believer. So let's look at the first verse then, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David himself had been a shepherd. He understood the needs of the sheep under his care, and he realized the sheep was defenseless and foolish. Therefore, he compares himself to a sheep, and he trusted that God would care for him and meet his every need. But unfortunately, not everyone sees themselves as coming under the authority of the Lord God. A sheep is a domesticated animal, and as an owner, unlike a wild animal that just goes its own way and pleases itself, much like the world today, most people disregard of authority if it gets in their way of their lifestyle. Observe, the first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. David doesn't say that he hopes the Lord is his shepherd. He's sure about it. And he refers to God as my shepherd. It's a personal relationship, isn't it? He doesn't lump himself together with any special group or gathering or class. He doesn't call God our shepherd. David considered God as my shepherd. And because the Lord is David's shepherd, he's confident that God will supply his needs. He shall want for nothing. He may wish for other things, but all his needs will be supplied. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we thought about asking God for our daily bread, not luxuries. So we're going to verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. David knew that sheep wouldn't lie down if they were hungry or agitated, and God doesn't just meet our needs, but he satisfies our desires. Anyone who doesn't have God in their lives is always looking for the next buzz or kick, aren't they? Here, David indicates that he is satisfied with God being his shepherd. He can lie in peace. But when he is not resting, he knows he ought to be active for the Lord. So he needs God to lead him in the right direction. And where does the Lord lead him? Beside the still waters. Water refreshes us, it cleanses us, doesn't it? Why still waters? Well, in the part of the world where David lived and tended his sheep, there were few streams. And those that were there weren't always reliable. They would dry up in the hot weather. But the still waters of a well or a cistern, that's the place where water is stored, could satisfy the thirst of the sheep. David knew the Lord would satisfy him. And we can read what Jesus said in John's Gospel in chapter 7 and verse 37. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We're going to verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we feel distant from God and downhearted, he lifts us up. He puts us back on the right track. If you really trust God, you would want to please him and be obedient to him. You would want to obey his laws, not just the laws that you would choose to obey. And if God calls us to do something, he will lead us in the right way. And we need to be led because we want to willingly please him for his name's sake. On to verse 4 then. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Being a shepherd, David would have been aware of the dangers of leading the sheep in his care through dark and dangerous valleys in the wilderness. Wild beasts were like to be around every twist of the path. Now, I've lived in Shepherd's Bush all my life. To my knowledge, I've never come across a shepherd. But maybe 200 years ago, when Shepherd's Bush wasn't an inner London district, shepherds would have tended their sheep. However, I don't think they would have encountered the wild beasts that David had to face. We can read in the book of Samuel, when David was preparing to fight Goliath, he told King Saul that he had fought and killed lions and bears whilst protecting his sheep. So David compares this experience when he says he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice here, David said he walks through the valley. He doesn't panic or quicken his step. He doesn't run, but he knows that God is at his side. And as God promised Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 5, I will not leave you or forsake you. Forsake means to give up on. Many people fear death. They don't know what to expect. But David knows that he has nothing to fear because God is with him always. And one of my favourite hymns is called Abide With Me. And in one of the verses, in one of the lines, it says, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. So abide means to remain with. And as a shepherd had a weapon to protect his sheep from wild animals and a staff to feed his way in treacherous conditions, so God has the ability to protect and lead us safely in life. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, if you eat at someone's table, it means that they feed you. and shepherds need to feed their sheep. Sheep eat grass quicker than they grow, so they have to be led to pastures new. And as the shepherd leads them to fresh grass, he must be careful to avoid poisonous plants growing in that grass. He has also to be aware of snakes that may be hiding in holes, and of lions and bears and jackals, etc., waiting for an opportunity to pounce and devour them, to eat them. When evening comes around, it's the shepherd's duty to guide them to an enclosure to keep them together. And as the sheep enter in one by one, he will examine them for any injuries that they may have incurred during the day. He would treat their wounds with the medicine of the day, olive oil, and that would have soothed their cuts and their bruises. And he would give them cooling water, as much as they wanted. The shepherd wouldn't ration it, and God doesn't ration the mercies that he freely gives us. So finally, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's love and care for us never ceases, it never stops. It is with us in this life and in the life to come, if we know the Lord as our Saviour. Will you dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Is the Lord your Saviour? Those who put their trust in Jesus can be assured that he will always be with them. We can be comforted by the words that Jesus spoke, and it's recorded here in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, it would be a good thing if you too could learn this psalm and keep it in your heart. Well, thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Thank you very much indeed. So we've come to the end of our time again, and we're just going to close in prayer. But if you do wish to contact us in any way, please use the information there. Text us or send me an email. That'd be great. So we're just going to close in prayer now. O Lord our God, we do thank you that we can look to you to be our good shepherd, the one who cares for us, watches over us, Lord God, and blesses us in so many ways. We do pray, Lord God, that you may help us to understand that the only way to truly know God and to have peace with God is through that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to put our trust and our faith in him, Lord God, and to truly have repentance from our sins, and then we will not be afraid, Lord God, because we can trust in you. Bless us now, Lord God. Watch over us, keep us safe, we do pray. And we would ask, Lord God, these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Please take care, watch over yourselves, and look forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye-bye.